Good morning. This is Bricks and Mortar from EG. Today I'm talking to Davina Goodchild, Chief Executive of Lionheart, a charity that provides support to RICS members and their families. Davina is here to talk about the charity and the ways in which its members can both access and benefit from it. You're listening to Sarah Jackman. Davina, many thanks indeed for joining me today. Can you start by telling me a little bit about the primary role of the charity?
Yeah, we have a really simple aim, which is to support RICS professionals throughout their career. And we want them to support them to live happier and healthier lives. Obviously, our roots were as a traditional Victorian benevolent fund, which was supporting the widows and orphans of chartered surveyors at a time when there was no safety net or welfare state. But nowadays, we have two kinds of service. One is responsive and one is proactive. So our proactive response and our proactive offer is our workshops and our webinars, all focused on well-being, really, mental well-being, work-life balance and financial health, and they all count towards CPD. And our responsive offer is via our helpline, where we offer counselling, grants, help people getting back into work, help people through periods of ill health or bereavement.
So quite a broad role then. You're available to RICS members throughout their career, from APC to retirement. Which demographic do you typically see the greatest number of inquiries from?
Well, there is still a misconception that the majority of the people we help are older people, perhaps in their retirement, but this is actually not true. So it's great to have the opportunity to get rid of that myth, really. So we support people through the even spread of age groups. So as we've evolved our workshops, our APC offer and our mental health initiative and our wellbeing offers, we're seeing more people across all the different age groups, and the vast majority of the people we support are of working age.
Okay. And just in terms of the number of issues that you deal with, it ranges from mental health to finance and supporting people back into work and so on. What type of difficulty does your organisation typically dedicate the greatest number of resources to?
Right, so that's quite a difficult question to answer. So the best way I could find of answering that would be to talk about why people come to us in the first place. So about 27% of the people we help are in receipt of financial assistance. Mm-hmm. And that has dropped from about 100% 10 years ago. So we see a large number of people accessing our workshops and webinars. And in terms of our helpline, the primary reasons now for people calling are things like unemployment, redundancy and other work-related problems at 18%. Mental health issues, including stress, anxiety and depression, at around 14%. Legal issues at around 14%. And ill health or disability to around 12%. And then the rest are things like debt or business difficulties, bereavement, and other things like marriage breakdown, that kind of issue. And just common challenges that people face in their lives, really.
Okay. Perhaps we can have a think about the picture in relation to mental health support and how that's changed over the years. The issue has obviously been brought into the mainstream very much more than a decade ago. Does that evolving national debate, does that help, do you think, in terms of people tackling the issue and coming to you to find some support?
I think it does. It has been one of the major shifts that we've seen in recent years. So we launched our professional counselling service around 5 or 6 years ago. And demand for that has risen steadily year on year, to the point now where people are calling us and saying, I think I need counselling. Where it used to be that people would call us for example, an issue that they're having in terms of bereavement, for example, and saying I need help, but didn't really know that counselling was the thing that might offer the solution for them. So they would wait for it to be suggested, whereas now people are actually calling for that. So obviously the fact that mental health is a subject that's increasingly in the media has led to more and more people to realise it's acceptable to ask for help and that they're not on their own as well. But I think the work we've been doing to raise awareness about mental health within the industry, alongside other organisations and with our corporate partners, is beginning to have a real effect. And it is combining with kind of the zeitgeist, I guess, with people within the mainstream media talking more about mental health. And I think it is really important there's a top-down approach to mental health, so that people are no longer feeling they're putting their career in jeopardy if they're open and honest within their working life about their mental health challenges.
I mean, I suppose that touches on the responsive side of the work that you provide. I mean, how proactive do you think people are being in terms of managing their mental health and getting that sort of work-life balance? I mean, do you find that people are engaging more with your webinars and so on?
Definitely so, yes. So people, whereas before it was quite a hard sell, probably, all of the work that we were doing around mental health, I think people didn't recognise themselves. I mean, we all have mental health. It may be good at some points, and it may not. It may be challenging at other points, but I think it's taken a long time for people to recognise that absolutely everybody has mental health just as they have physical health. So it has been challenging in the past, but now actually when we advertise our workshops and webinars that are sort of focused on mental health, we fill the spaces relatively quickly. And as I say, people are now picking up the phone and saying, you know, I have a mental health challenge, rather than talking about another issue that really is it's the fact that they're struggling to cope.
It's rooted in a mental health issue. Just returning then to the national mental health picture and the work that organisations such as yours provide, do you think there's a stigma around being seen to contact a charity for support?
Well, that has started to change, I think. And we're working really hard to be just working alongside people throughout their career, rather than being the place that people don't want to call. You know, I think people used to see Lionheart as the destination they never really wanted to get to.
Right.
But nowadays, I think interaction with us isn't seen as any kind of failure. And people are just taking up services they're entitled to through their RICS membership. And we have worked really hard, as I say, to be part of people's property careers from the start to the end, offering services like APC support and training and development workshops and webinars, and our increased presence across, you know, the media and across the industry as a whole means that there is, I think, less stigma involved in talking about Lionheart and having a connection to Lionheart and utilising our services.
I guess that perceived stigma potentially amongst some people, perhaps working under strain for too long, could create a situation where people are quite distressed by the time that they come to you. Are you seeing that sort of decreasing over time? It sounds as though people are being a bit more proactive about contacting you.
Yeah, I think so. It's not necessarily the stigma, actually, that stops people calling us. It's the hope that the problem goes away. I mean, we're all like that, aren't we? We have a challenge in our lives and we think, oh, we'll be all right in a few weeks. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And you kind of talk yourself out of it. And I think that happens a lot. But people are getting in touch earlier. I would say that people don't always recognise in themselves the signs and symptoms that are related to mental ill health. So it may be that they leave it a little longer than they could. But people do always tell us when they do finally call. We get a lot of people who say to us, oh, I wish I'd called you much earlier. And so I would just encourage people to call us as soon as possible.
Okay. And what sort of signs then are people looking out for, and would you encourage people to be aware of in terms of reaching out a bit sooner?
Well, I'm not an expert, obviously. I think the doctor would probably be able to tell them much better than I would. But it's things that, you know, not doing the things that you enjoy, spending every waking hour thinking about work, not having time for your family and friends, squeezing an hour into half an hour. You know, all of those kinds of things, not eating properly, not sleeping well. You know, everybody knows themselves, I think, when they're feeling unwell physically. But I think we're getting better. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think we are getting better at knowing or recognizing ourselves when we're not feeling great mentally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just to pick up on one of the themes that you touched on previously, you mentioned that you offer to support people through times of redundancy and financial stress. Have you seen an uptick in that sort of inquiry over the last few years, and certainly in times of economic downturn?
Yeah, there is an effect on the calls that we get from Lionheart. So at times of economic downturn, yes, there's definitely an uptick. And when there are large firms that are restructuring, for example, then we get calls from people within those large firms who are experiencing that uncertainty in their careers. So, yeah, we are affected by the sort of the climate, I guess is what you'd call it, of the property industry. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And do you find that people's periods of support are typically short-lived, or do you tend to support people over longer time frames?
Well, everyone's an individual. Anyone that calls Lionheart's helpline will be treated as an individual. So sometimes it can be years, a couple of years. Sometimes it might be months. If it's counselling, it's usually months. And sometimes it might be just attending a workshop or two. And sometimes it's only a one-time thing. People can always come back to us, and people do. And it's as different as the people who call us. So the vast majority of people we support just need a little bit of a helping hand through a tough time. So, for example, a period of unemployment, or maybe it's counselling over a period of a few months, or coaching with one of our support officers. So everybody's different, but hopefully we help them get their lives back on track over that period of the time that we're supporting them.
Okay. And on a practical level, if somebody were to call you and explained an issue to one of your counsellors, how is that then dealt with? Is it assessed and then the appropriate level of support put in place?
Yeah, so what would happen is that they would call our helpline and they would speak to one of our support officers. And then every time after that first call, they would speak to the same person. So
right.
Then they're not telling the same story, you know, five different times to five different people, because that could get tiring and actually quite stressful, I think. So, yes, they always speak to the same person. And then it's very much a conversation. So it's, you know, we will make some offers about the kinds of things that we do and the kinds of support that we can offer. So it might be that we can offer a financial grant. It could be counselling. It might be that that person would benefit from a coaching approach for a few weeks or a month or so. Or it could be that they need some legal advice. And it just very much depends on what the person is bringing. But that offer of support will be kind of worked out between the support officer and the person calling, and then they'll put together a plan, and then probably the support officer will check in with that person every couple of weeks maybe, or every month, just to see how they're going, until such a time as they, you know, they don't need any more support from us.
Yeah. Okay. We spoke to someone a few months ago as part of this podcast series who'd received support from Lionheart for a period of stress whilst they were developing their career. What advice do you have for people in relation to developing a healthy approach to work and, you know, good long-term sustainable attitude?
Yeah, well, so I'm not a well-being expert, so but I would suggest attending one or two of our workshops, which will give the person some tips and tools and the opportunity to think about their approaches. So what's good about what they're doing, what's bad, what's not so helpful about what they're doing, and also come up with an action plan. So all of our workshops and webinars are very action focused. So they're not a talking shop. You don't go in there, have a chat about work-life balance and leave. You go in there, learn about work-life balance in relation to you, and you leave with an action plan that you can put into place, because it can be a huge problem in the industry. So just giving people that opportunity to take a step back, really have a look at their lives and evaluate what's healthy and what works for them. And then if there is a need for a one-to-one, then our support officers can also offer coaching, which can be really beneficial in learning to establish boundaries and work out goal setting in a really sustainable way for a healthy work-life balance and approach to work.
Okay. And for people who are taking their APC, I mean, is it a particularly stressful time in someone's early career, that period where they're working perhaps and you know, studying at the same time? How do you find that plays out in practice?
I think it is incredibly stressful, and I really take my hat off to all those people going through it, because you are working full time in what is a very challenging, demanding environment anyway, and then you're also studying, and the studying and the work, and you know, hoping to also have a bit of a life, you know, a social life and a home life. It's quite a difficult balancing. It's a difficult mix. So yeah, I would say it is incredibly challenging time, which is why we're working with the RICS to develop better services ourselves for APC candidates. And we do have services for APC candidates, and we do support them through that challenging and difficult time. Yeah, it is challenging, definitely.
Okay. If we had someone listening to this and recognises that they have a problem that perhaps benefits from a call to Lionheart, how would they get in touch with you?
Right, if they want to get in touch, they can call our helpline. It's free helpline. It's 0800 009 2960. If they don't feel able to pick up the phone because that's challenging for them, they can email us on info@lionheart.org.uk and someone will get back to them and call them if necessary. So I would just say pick up the phone, call our helpline or email. And then I would encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn, so that they're always up to date with what we're doing and what kind of services we offer. And so I think sometimes if people are apprehensive about calling, if they get to know us on Twitter and LinkedIn, they'll see that we are, you know, we're a warm, friendly, welcoming organisation, and we really, really genuinely want to help anybody that is struggling at any point. It doesn't need to be a crisis. If you're just sitting there thinking, oh, I could really do with talking this through with someone, just honestly pick up the phone.
Okay. Yeah. And if somebody has reached crisis point and perhaps they can't reach the organisation, perhaps it's outside of normal hours, where should they turn to for support?
I think the first thing to say is it's really important to try and talk to a colleague or a friend or a family member or even a stranger. Just talk to somebody if you can, if you feel that's something you can do. If not, the Samaritans number is always available. It's on our website. The number to call is 116 123, and they will be incredibly supportive and they will listen, which is really important at that time of crisis, is to find someone who will listen. So if there isn't anybody immediate, then I would encourage people to call Samaritans.
Okay. And lastly, it's important really to emphasise that you are a charity. How can people support you?
Oh, let me list the ways. There are lots of ways. So every year we ask our ICS professionals to donate to Lionheart through their subs, and many very generous RICS professionals do. And so thank you to all of those that do. If you don't, you can visit our website and make a donation online. You could do a one-off donation, or you can set up a direct debit. You can donate clients' account money. If you have clients' account funds in your bank, you can legitimately donate them to Lionheart, and we will guarantee to pay them back in 6 years if your client comes back to you. We're encouraging people, if possible, if they can leave us a legacy once they've looked after the people they love, within their will, if they could leave us a legacy of 1% of their estate, that would be fantastic. And also, there are lots of opportunities to get involved in fundraising for Lionheart. So there are lots of golf days and football tournaments and sponsored events. And if anybody is interested in doing anything like that, I would suggest they get in touch, because we can support them with that. It is, as you say, important to remember that we are an independent charity. We don't receive grant funding. We're not part of the RICS. So donations from RICS professionals are hugely important in allowing us to continue the offer to offer the support that we do. And all of our income comes from RICS, the generous RICS professionals' donations. So thank you very much to those people that do donate.
Right.
One other way that people can support us actually is to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter and join the conversation and help us to raise awareness of who we are and what we do, because it is one of our biggest challenges that people do know Lionheart exists, but the level of understanding of who we are and the kind of services that we offer and the fact that it is so broad, you know, it's not widely known. So if more and more people follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter, that helps us to share and spread awareness. So that is really one good way people can support us.
All right.
And it's free.
Davina Gidchav, many thanks indeed for your time today. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series on podbean.com and the APC and Mainly for Students series at egi.co.uk.